from ABC News, World News This Week. I'm Chuck Sievertson in New York. Coming up,
the extraordinary circumstances here require the appointment of a special counsel.
After classified documents are found in President Biden's Delaware home, some not so friendly skies.
The FAA ordering the nation's first national ground stop since 9/11.
California swamped by rain and snow.
Flooding, mudslides, sinkholes, and a growing number of dead.
Nurses in New York strike over staffing.
The incoming shift does not have enough nurses.
And the Trump Organization hit with the biggest fine allowed by law.
The company is now a convicted felon.
The people and events that made headlines when World News This Week continues.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
Once again, serious questions about the handling of classified documents. This time, they're focused on the current president of the United States, Joe Biden. Attorney General Merrick Garland this week saying,
"The extraordinary circumstances here require the appointment of a special counsel for this matter."
ABC's Pierre Thomas.
Those extraordinary circumstances, a chain of events that began on November 2nd, when Biden's personal attorneys discovered at least 10 top secret documents about a number of foreign countries at the Penn Biden Center, a Washington think tank. Those lawyers contacted the National Archives, which quickly reached out to the Justice Department. Attorney General Garland, in response, directed the U.S. Attorney in Chicago, John Laus, a Trump appointee, to pursue a preliminary investigation. While that probe was underway, another bombshell. More classified documents discovered 48 days later at Biden's home, many of them in his garage.
The FBI went to the location and secured those documents.
As the evidence mounted on January 5th, Laus made a dramatic recommendation to his boss, appoint a special counsel. And yet another revelation. DOJ told on Thursday that another classified document was found in a room adjacent to that garage at President Biden's Wilmington home. The new special counsel appointed to determine what took place, veteran prosecutor Robert Herb, formerly the U.S. Attorney for the state of Maryland, also appointed by former President Donald Trump.
This appointment underscores for the public the department's commitment to both independence and accountability.
President Biden on defense.
Classified material next to your Corvette. What were you thinking?
I'm going to get a chance to speak on all this, God willing, soon. But as I said earlier this week, people, and by the way, my Corvette's in a locked garage. Okay, so it's not like you're sitting out in the street. People know I take classified documents and classified material seriously. I also said we're cooperating fully.
And the White House counsel's office saying the documents were inadvertently misplaced and that Biden's team quickly responded to, quote, the mistake. Biden's supporters were also quick to point out that the special counsel investigation of Trump's alleged mishandling of classified documents is dramatically different. They say Trump took hundreds of classified documents and fought efforts to retrieve them, and that Biden's team immediately reached out to the appropriate officials once they found he also had classified documents.
ABC News Chief Justice Correspondent Pierre Thomas. Wednesday started with a wicked travel mess. Every single flight in the country grounded after an FAA computer system went down. ABC's Gio Benitez.
The FAA saying the catastrophic computer outage that led to an aviation meltdown in America was caused by a damaged database file. A senior official telling ABC News that file appears to have been a single engineer's mistake during routine maintenance of the critical FAA computer system. The engineer reportedly replaced one file with another, not realizing what he had done, even after chaos ensued and flights were canceled and delayed from coast to coast. It took all day for airlines to get planes back in the air, about 9,000 delays, more than 1,000 cancellations.
This is something out of the control of the airlines right now.
Lou Mangello's flight from Orlando to Los Angeles already started boarding when suddenly everyone was forced off.
Everybody deplaned very quickly, very orderly.
The Notice to Air Missions Computer System, or NOTAM, delivers critical safety information to pilots before taking off. To fix the issue, the FAA ordering the nation's first national ground stop since 9/11. Experts have long said the system is outdated. A source telling us a newer system would have caught that bad fire.
Getting around on the ground, not much better. A freight train derailment in South Carolina Monday night stopped an Amtrak train from Virginia to Florida in its tracks. Gary Ertz was on board.
We all had places that we needed to be. Even with the delays, we were told it would only be a couple of hours late.
But it turned into way more than a couple hours. What was supposed to be a 17-hour trip took 37. Near nonstop storms ramming over and over again into California and turning deadly. ABC's Alex Stone is there.
Chuck, after weeks of rain and heavy snow, an incredible turnaround here. So much has fallen. The last couple of weeks have nearly eradicated extreme drought areas of California. 46% of the state is still under a severe drought, but that's down from 71% in late December. The bad news, all of the rain and snow have been mainly only in California, and the rest of the West is not looking great, especially the Colorado River region, which needs rain for drinking water. But here in California, Sean DeGuzman runs the snow surveys done by the state near Tahoe.
Our snowpack is actually off to one of its best start in the past 40 years.
California's snowpack turns into drinking water later in the year, but the partial relief being felt has come at a cost. Powerful storms have caused flooding, mudslides, sinkholes, and a growing number of dead. In the last week, the entire community of Montecito and Santa Barbara County was evacuated over fears that on the fifth anniversary of a mudslide that killed 23 people in 2018, that it would happen again with these rains.
This is a very rapidly changing and developing event.
Luckily, in Montecito, there was no major mudslide, and people living in the area were allowed to go home. But there is more rain coming. It has been nonstop in parts of the state for nearly a month. Mammoth, a popular ski community on the eastern side of the Sierra Nevada, now has the deepest snow in the country. One storm in the past week brought 52 inches of new snow, and there is more coming. The ski resort had to shut down. There was so much snow. And in the San Francisco Bay Area, Jose Alvarez's roof got ripped off his apartment complex.
Right now, we're just struggling, trying to save as much as we can. We got clothes everywhere, like at least trying to save some in our cars. And we're just trying to put them anywhere we can.
He says everything they own is wet now. Chuck, the long-term forecast indicates a nonstop train of storms coming from Asia to California will be ending soon, but still, there are a few more days of heavy rain.
That's ABC's Alex Stone, and strong storms also slicing through the South. ABC's Steve Osunsami in Alabama's rural Autauga County.
The tornadoes and deadly winds that cut through the Southeast have left a trail of heartache.
This was my mom's house, y'all. My sister lived in it.
Alabama Governor Kay Ivey declared a state of emergency for six counties after at least 23 reported tornadoes were seen in her state. In rural Autauga County, authorities confirmed that this same storm damaged or destroyed 40 to 50 homes.
I just never thought I'd be in that kind of situation, but I know nobody does.
Georgia was up next, where schools closed early to get kids home safely. Near Hartsfield-Jackson International Airport in Atlanta, a confirmed tornado tore through a warehouse with workers inside who were praying for their lives.
At least nine people killed in Georgia and Alabama. For the first time this week, we saw and heard from the now former police chief for the schools in Uvalde, Texas, talking about the attack that left 19 students and two teachers dead. ABC's John Quinones.
The call came out over the radio.
Video obtained by ABC News showing now fired Uvalde Schools Police Chief Pete Arredondo speaking to investigators. It was less than 24 hours after the Robb Elementary School massacre.
My first thought is that we need to vacate.
He says he tried to protect students who he believed were trapped in other classrooms and thought the gunman had been stopped.
We haven't contained. There's probably going to be some deceased in there, but we don't need any more from out here. So I called out and I said, get these kids out, whatever I told them, bust those windows, get them out.
In this nearly hour-long video, Arredondo answering questions about his response to the shooting and why he didn't treat the scene as an active shooter event.
When we entered the building on the south entrance of that particular building where this occurred, that door I know was unlocked because I opened it. When I opened it, I saw a cloud of smoke. I had just heard the shots, right, because they were sporadic.
Arredondo heading to the classroom door where shots were coming from.
We were having a hard time getting that door open because we tried, I can't tell you how many keys and master keys we had.
But even then, while the gunman was reloading, no one stormed into the classroom. That didn't happen until 77 minutes after the first shot. Only then did a Border Patrol agent finally shoot and kill the gunman.
We're going to get scrutinized. I'm expecting that. We're going to get scrutinized why we didn't go in there.
During that interview, Arredondo tells investigators that he didn't storm the classroom because he thought that all of the children inside were already dead. Well, tragically, we now know that wasn't true. At least three of the victims were pulled out alive, but later died of their injuries.
ABC's John Quinones in Uvalde, Texas. Inflation slowing down again. New numbers from the Labor Department this week show prices 6.5% higher in December compared to a year ago. While still high, that is the lowest inflation rate since October of 2021. More from ABC's Rebecca Jarvis.
The Fed is watching these reports with great interest, and it is likely to hike interest rates again next month because inflation remains too high. So that makes borrowing more expensive, and we especially see it in credit cards. The average APR for a credit card hit a record 20.4% in 2022. You want to pay those bills quickly.
With hospitals across the country still struggling to find healthcare workers, nurses in New York City this week hit their breaking point. About 7,000 going on strike at two hospitals. Not, they say, overpay, but over a lack of help. Lorena Vivas on the picket line.
I have two or three nurses working 24 hours because the incoming shift does not have enough nurses. This has been going on even before the pandemic, and the pandemic just blew the whole thing open.
After 3 days, a deal promising pay raises of around 19% and commitments to hire more nurses. New York Congressman George Santos losing support among some of the Republicans who voted him in as questions swirl around the story of his life and his campaign finances. Joseph Cairo heads the GOP in Nassau County, New York, where Santos was elected.
He's not welcome here. He's disgraced the House of Representatives, and we do not consider him one of our congresspeople.
More from ABC's Rachel Scott on Capitol Hill.
It's the most direct rebuke from Republicans yet. Local officials calling Santos a stain on the House of Representatives. But the Long Island Republican is defiant.
Congressman Santos, will you resign?
I will not.
Will you step down?
I will not.
New York Republicans are calling you a disgrace.
You will not resign?
Pardon me?
What is your response to New York Republicans?
Congressman, trying to get in the elevator. Excuse us.
Santos has already admitted to lying about his experience and biography. ABC News obtaining the resume he gave to the Nassau County Republican Party, claiming he worked for Goldman Sachs and Citigroup. He never did. And claiming he graduated from Baruch College with a 3.89 GPA that ranked him in the top 1% of the class. That was a lie, too. He never graduated from any college. Santos asserts he just embellished details of his background. But now he's facing new allegations that he illegally used campaign funds to pay for personal expenses like rent. Santos insists he did nothing unethical, and the new Speaker of the House is standing by him.
Do you think he had any action against him at this point?
Is there a charge against him? You know, in America today, you're innocent until proven guilty.
Kevin McCarthy insisting all this will be up to voters to decide in the next midterm election.
Washington is about to wrestle again with the debt ceiling. The Treasury Department says it will run out of borrowing room on Thursday. It's up to Congress to raise it. A surprise release Friday of another American held by Russia. Here's ABC's Martha Raddatz.
After 9 months of detention, 35-year-old Taylor Dudley was released by Russian authorities at the Polish border into the arms of his mother, Shelley, and the team who had negotiated his freedom, including former New Mexico Governor Bill Richardson. The Michigan native and U.S. Navy veteran had traveled to Poland to attend a music festival, but then crossed into Kaliningrad, a small territory governed by Russia between Poland and Lithuania.
Dudley's family had not gone public about his detention, hoping that would help convince Russian authorities to release him. Still in a Russian prison, though, American Paul Whelan. And Russia claiming victory amid some fierce fighting in eastern Ukraine.
Russian Defense Ministry spokesman Igor Konashenkov says control of the town in Donetsk province was completed Thursday evening. The move, he adds, makes it possible now to cut off supply lines for Ukrainian forces in the town of Bakhmut. He claims over 700 Ukrainian soldiers were killed in the fighting over just the past few days.
ABC's Tom Rivers at the foreign desk. Ukrainian officials, though, say they have not lost the town. In the capital of Brazil Sunday, what some are calling that country's own January 6th.
1,500 people were arrested after supporters of former President Jair Bolsonaro stormed the government compound on Sunday over false claims the October election was stolen. Bolsonaro lost a very close race to Lula da Silva. Those protesters damaging three of the government buildings here.
ABC News foreign correspondent Marcus Moore in the capital of Brasilia. Another attack this week, this one on one of the busiest train stations on the planet, Gare du Nord in Paris. Six people stabbed and the attacker shot and wounded. France's interior minister saying officials have not yet figured out a motive. Fresh concerns about growing cases of COVID in China and the potential for it to spread far and wide.
With over 2 billion trips expected over Lunar New Year, growing concerns in China that COVID could quickly spread from cities to vulnerable villages. The World Health Organization warning China's response to this new COVID wave has been made even more complicated by the lack of data and that it would be challenging to manage the virus amid what is considered to be the world's largest annual migration. The holiday begins January 21st. Inez de la Quatera, ABC News. At the foreign desk.
Former President Trump's organization ordered Friday to pay a $1.6 million fine, the most the judge could hand down.
Just laying bare the idea that the company is now a convicted felon because of a 13-year scheme to evade taxes by paying certain executives off the books in the form of tuition payments for the grandkids or rent for an apartment in Manhattan. Leases for luxury cars and other things that were never properly declared as income.
That's ABC's Aaron Katursky. Just over a week after his heart stopped on the field during Monday Night Football, Bills safety Damar Hamlin released from the hospital and back home. His head coach, Sean McDermott.
Grateful first and foremost that he's home and with his parents and his brother, which is great.
But in California, Lisa Marie Presley, only child of Elvis, dying after her heart stopped. The mother of four telling ABC News in 2012 about teaching her kids about her father.
I put his music on and they dance and they, you know, and I explain this was your grandfather and they kind of just happily say that's my grandfather.
Lisa Marie Presley was 54. The music world also losing a guitar legend this week. Rock and Roll Hall of Famer and eight-time Grammy winner Jeff Beck passing away at the age of 78. With his new book now out and setting sales records, Prince Harry has been speaking with ABC's Michael Strahan about his life, his family, and the forces tearing them apart.
I don't think that we can ever have peace with my family unless the truth is out there. There's a lot that I can forgive, but there needs to be conversations and then in order for reconciliation, and part of that has to be accountability.
In his new memoir, Spare, Prince Harry writes about the British royal family's complicated relationship he says they have with the British press and chronicles the family dynamics that led him and his wife, Meghan, to step back from royal life.
Share with me the significance of the title.
Within the family as such, there's the spare and the heir. Mm-hmm. My brother being the heir and me being the spare. And so I think it was just a really good opportunity to choose a title that had been somewhat used against me for a long part of my life and own that title.
To the outside world, Prince Harry and his brother Prince William have always appeared close, seemingly bonded by the death of their mother, Princess Diana, when Harry was just 12. In his memoir, Harry writes about a more complex relationship, recalling verbal and even physical disputes between the brothers.
You refer to your brother as your beloved brother and arch nemesis.
Mm-hmm.
Strong words.
There has always been this competition between us, weirdly. Again, I think it really plays into, always played by, the heir spare. And the British press is part in that, right? They pitched the Waleses, right, of which Kate and William are now, against the Sussexes, me and my wife. They always pitched us against each other. They pitched Kate and Meghan against each other.
So when they pitched them against each other, do you think that it made them kind of go against each other?
Yeah. I mean, without question.
Harry claims members of the royal family and their staff fed stories to the press and refused to set the record straight on false reports, especially about his wife, Meghan, shifting a negative spotlight onto her in order to protect other royals.
You have any examples of some of those stories?
There's a whole handful of examples in the book. It's so petty, but it's the bridesmaids' dresses.
Yeah.
Right? That was a real hard one for me because I was like, we've moved on from that. But while I was writing the book, we were on version 29 or 30, all of which involved my wife supposedly making numerous people within my family cry, which just simply wasn't the case.
Prince Harry speaking with ABC's Michael Strahan. Coming up, the new stink over gas stoves when World News This Week continues. There's a good reason why the saying goes, now we're cooking with gas. And when stories started going around this week that federal officials might have their eye on a possible ban of gas stoves over health concerns, that had plenty of cooks steaming. ABC's Lionel Moise sifting through it all.
The bottom line, Chuck, officials say they're only opening a public comment period and no one is coming for your gas range. Really at the heart of the issue is medical research showing nearly 13% of childhood asthma cases in the U.S. can be linked to the use of a gas stove. It's one of multiple studies looking into chemicals that enter our homes through stoves. Dr. Aaron Bernstein at Harvard School of Public Health.
These are oxides of nitrogen or NOx that get released into our homes when we use gas to cook. And NOx are well known to contribute to asthma.
Many pollutants are odorless. Ashita Kapoor, Associate Director of Product Safety at Consumer Reports, which has also been looking into this.
Nitrogen dioxide is a concern because we know that it does have adverse effects on respiratory tract, respiratory illnesses, especially for sensitive individuals such as children who could have asthma, as well as elderly people who also suffer from asthma.
Rich Trumka, a commissioner of the Consumer Product Safety Commission, told Bloomberg News a ban on gas stoves is on the table, but he later backtracked. The agency this week clarified that it is not looking to ban gas stoves, but it does plan to look more into emissions from stoves and possible ways to make them safer. In the meantime, as regulators investigate, Dr. Bernstein says there are some steps that concerned parents can take.
The question is, what's the first best actionable thing we can do? And that is to make sure that we use hoods, we use ventilation. If we don't have those installed, can we at least try and open a window?
Consumer Reports found only 13% of homes use their range hood. There have been moves at state and local levels to cut back on gas, usually prompted by concerns over climate change. New York's Governor Kathy Hochul saying she'll propose a statewide ban.
I'm proposing a plan to end the sale of new fossil-powered heating equipment by 2030 by calling for construction of all new construction to be zero emission starting in 2025 for small buildings and 2028 for large buildings.
And nearly 100 cities have already banned gas hookups in new construction in an effort to eliminate fossil fuels in apartment buildings. Lionel Moise, ABC News, New York.
And those are the people and events that made World News This Week. World News This Week was written and produced by Rob Hawley. I'm Chuck Severson, ABC News, New York.